You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Delirious Nomads podcast, a heavy metal podcast brought to you by Metal Blade subsidiary Blacklight Media. I'm Matt Bacon here with my beautiful co-host, Chris Santos, celebrity chef extraordinaire, and one of our flagship acts on our label, Blacklight Media, the one and only Capra, who are today, February 24th, heading out on tour with one of my favorite bands ever, I Hate God.
Hey, what's
How
up?
How are you today, Capra? We have Tyler and Jeremy.
Fantastic today. I'm so ready to be on the road, and especially with a band who is also one of my favorite bands.
Mm-hmm. Feels like, I don't want to jinx it, but it feels like maybe shows are back for good. I don't know.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How long is the run?
It's a short one. We're going to do 4 days with them. We're going to play Baton Rouge tonight, Houston tomorrow, Shreveport on Saturday, and then Denton, Texas on Sunday.
Nice. Very nice. Response to the record still continues to be unbelievably positive from all around the world. How are you guys feeling?
Oh, we're feeling good about that. I checked our Spotify numbers the other day and was just kind of floored at how they're continuing to rise. So we really appreciate that. Everybody that's listening that you know, gives our music a chance and finds some way to relate to it.
And yeah, I think we talked about this last time you were on, but who actually does your merch designs?
A few different people. So I've done one. One of our best sellers is our Dune shirt. And it comes in white and orange. And our good friend of ours, James Woodard, from a band called the Grasshopper Lies Heavy, he did that design. And then we have another white one that we just reprinted that I did. And then we have our new album art shirt, which was done by Ben Fruit, who also did our album art.
Got it. It's just really, everything you put out is just really great and striking. And
And Derek Guidry, I can't forget him. He did a few of our designs as well.
Nice.
I was hoping I didn't forget anybody, but that's all of them.
So before Matt starts asking questions, because I know he's got questions for you, we had you on the show once before. Maybe 6 months ago. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So like, what's changed? What's different? Where do you feel the band is at now and where they're going? I know you guys started, you're kind of writing a little bit on the side right now. Like, what's happened since the last time we got on here and talked about Capra?
Yeah. At that point, I think I had just started writing and working on the new album. So, We're pretty far into it at this point. I think we have ten songs maybe.
Yeah, nine songs.
Ready to go. And as far as just what's changed, I mean, we're playing a lot more shows than at that time, which is really cool. Yeah, we have so much new stuff. It's getting to be a lot. So
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good problem to have, but we're overloaded with stuff.
We'll take it for sure. Matt, go for it.
So, you know, so like, obviously as a Louisiana band, you know, touring with I Hate God is kind of amazing, you know, in Louisiana is kind of amazing. Right.
Yeah. It's a big deal for sure.
Like, how are you feeling about that?
I take it as I do any other tour. You know, we're on the road to, you know, play our music. So it's cool that we get to go with them. It's cool that we get to, you know, make some new fans out of it. But the focus is, you know, really all on our stuff. So we're ready.
Yeah, no, it's just, I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a good... I was excited when this came through because it seems like it's going to be a very good look. And I also just really love how actively I Hate God try to like help smaller bands.
Yeah, know? Same.
Like that's really cool for a band that's been doing it for 35 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, they're really selective too. They don't just take anybody. It is a cool feeling. Me personally, I try not to think about it too much, especially before we leave. Just because I don't want the nerves to get the best of me, or like I don't want it, the moment to be bigger than me. So I was initially very excited, but like I am very cool as a cucumber at the moment. So I'm trying to just, you know.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where like when we get back from tour, we're like, wow, we just toured with I Hate God.
Yeah, that'll be more or less Monday, Tuesday. I'll be soaking it in more. Right yeah. Now, I'm just trying to like stay in the zone.
Are you playing anything new at the shows, or are we sticking?
Yeah, man, we have one that we've been doing at a few of our shows. I think we've done it at maybe five or six shows. It's called Tied Up. It's a brand new song, and then tonight for the first time we're playing another new song, which I don't even think we've really named it. We've been calling it CHSF, and that's what's on the set list. So I don't know if that name is going to stick around or if we're going to change it, but yeah, we're playing a brand new one tonight. So two new ones for Baton Rouge. They've never heard either. So
do you care to share what CHSF means?
Yeah.
It's really stupid.
It's so stupid. We have this carnival that comes to Lafayette, Louisiana, and it's called the Cajun Heartland State Fair. Okay. And we made a joke about having sexual relations at the Cajun Heartland State Fair, and then just decided to call it CHSF. So that's where it comes from. It was a little bit more vulgar and dirty, but you know, we'll keep it clean on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Appreciate it.
It's oh, funny. I'm glad I didn't say it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I feel like that. Answer prompts more questions, but you know, I'll leave it.
Yeah,
be.
For sure. It's like you should hear the names of the other new songs.
Yeah, they're not good.
They help us remember which one's which, and at the end of the day, that's all that really matters when you're in like pre-production stage.
Oh, Chris, you'll like one of them. We named a song Chris Santos. That's just so we remember which one that one is.
Right. Okay. I like it. I like it.
It's a riff heavy song.
I love it.
So so many riffs.
Are you guys playing longer sets as a result of the new songs? Or
yes. Yes. I remember the first thing you said to me after you saw us play live, and that was, I wish it was longer. So we made it a little bit longer.
Yeah, awesome.
And as soon as we have we're gonna be releasing a few singles this year, I believe. Which will be one of the same ones that we're playing, but another new one. So that'll put three on our set list to play for shows. And that, you know, it puts us at around 45 to 50 minute set, which if we're headlining is about right. We can drag that a little bit.
That's great.
What's sort of the new direction? I mean, I've heard a lot of the songs, right? But for people listening, what's sort of the direction you're trying to take on this, on these new tracks? Like what differentiates them? How are you trying to deploy differently?
Somebody told me the other day that I've really honed in on the Capra sound, which I thought was pretty cool. So that sound is definitely still there. There's still a lot of like chaos riffs and craziness to it. But for the most part, I think what I wanted to do on this album was dumb it down just a little bit, make it more structured and have definitely more breakdowns. I remember there's a comment that will forever linger in my brain that somebody made after listening to the album, and that was that it needed more breakdowns. So I've definitely added a couple of those that are really heavy. But I want a lot of it to be, I want a lot of it to be vocally driven, rather than relying on drums and guitar, you know, to carry the songs through with the vocals in the background. I want to let Crow shine a little bit more on this album. So we're doing a few songs that are structured that way.
That's really cool.
Definitely some maturity to the sound in the how it's developed and the progress we've been making. Paying attention to the little things a little bit more instead of just like knocking out a bunch of riffs and parts and just to say we have a new song that we did in a day or two, like kind of like working on a part of something and then putting it aside for maybe 2 weeks and coming back to it with like fresher ears and a different perspective has definitely helped me as a drummer for sure. But I know like the song structures have like definitely been a little bit more refined. And like you said, a little bit more of a better foundation for a vocalist to come in and actually be the front person instead of like kind of blending in with the riffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, because a lot of the songs on the first record weren't really written before Crow was in the band.
Yeah. I'd say about half were before her time and then half were while we had her. So now I want to utilize her skills and write a song, you know, that she's like really comfortable putting some deep lyrics over.
Do you know this one's about the same length, or are you writing longer songs as a result?
I actually think they're shorter songs. They're kind of just straight to the point.
I think of all of them, we've timed them, and I think there was only one that went right over four.
Yeah.
Only one, though. Everything else is between, you know, 250 and 330.
Mm-hmm. There's some that are like at 2 minutes and 7 seconds, just fast hardcore punk songs. So I think we'll have more songs on the album, but it should be roughly the same amount of time.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm a sucker for a 27 to 30 minute album. Like that's just, you know, it's the bands I grew up listening to. That's what they put out. And it's just the perfect time. And by the time you're done with that 30 minutes, it's like, let's do it again. Let's listen to it again.
Yeah, that's always something I've experienced is like that. I like when you listen to Rain and Blood for the first time and then you're like, whoa, I can do that again. And like.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, yeah, like that's awesome. And I think, and that's like one of the most exciting components to me is like that the songs have kind of gotten tighter and refined and just like, this is what we want to do is, what do you think defines the Capra sound?
Riffs, just straight rock and roll riffs. But there is like a certain, you know, there's a certain tone to it. And I really don't know how to explain that. It's just the way that I write music. And that's what comes across.
Yeah, it's hard for me to describe. I'm more interested when people have their, I like to hear their take on it because we've been doing it for so long. It's almost like it's hard to pinpoint or describe it.
Right. It's a blend of, I mean, the Capra sound is just all over the place is really what it is. I mean, we blend so many different genres together. That still revolve around hardcore, And yet it's still, it has like, then each note has this metallic feel to it. So if it doesn't have that, like I typically don't put it in the song, you know?
Yeah. And I think the rock and roll element is a really big piece, at least to me.
It's gotta be. That's what, yeah, that's in my blood. I bleed rock and roll. So glad to hear you say that.
Yeah. We definitely like to think that we have a good crossover reach because of that, because of the multiple genres that you can hear in the music.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of I don't know if that's like our intended goal. It just kind of happened that way. Where like metalheads and guys and hardcore guys and gals can all come together and kind of have fun with it.
Because there's also like, and I mentioned this to you after seeing you live, because it really becomes accentuated. There's like this almost post-rock component to how some of the riffs are.
Definitely. Not,
you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, this is actually like a little bit more vibey than I would have thought.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that on the new album as well. A lot more, I think, melodic type parts that are really driving and very post-rocky.
You know, obviously you guys get, we've talked about this before, but you know, you do get the Every Time I Die kind of influence in there. But for, like, what's exciting for me is like, if there is an Every Time I Die comparison, it's that I feel like you guys are like in the early first or second record stage of Every Time I Die, and to see how their career and their music kind of, you know, just developed and grew and grew and grew. I feel like that's where Capra is, where you guys are just, you haven't even begun to hit your potential of where you can go. Like, that's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
I would like to think that.
I would also like to think that as well. Mm. We definitely are influenced by Every Time I Die in the way of their
work ethic.
Those guys grinded really, really hard. They did everything they had to do to be on top. And
RIP.
Yeah, we respect them immensely for that.
Yeah. Kind of horrible that what just happened.
Yeah.
And also, I for me, that last record that they just put out is probably my favorite Every Time.
Same. Absolutely.
I agree. I mean, I struggle with a lot of their albums and ranking them, but right, this is by far one of the best albums they've ever put out.
Yeah. It's super unfortunate how the wheels came off right after release, kind of. But, you know, our heart goes out to those guys. You know, we love them. We'll continue to jam them and be inspired by them. And they definitely left a mark.
Yep.
For sure.
What I think is wild with them is that, like, they're cited as a big influence for you, but also for Raptors and who are on Blacklight, you know, and Fight the Fight. And none of you guys sound at all alike. But all of you, like, found something within the record to be like, yeah, this band is for us. And I think that's really the mark of, like, a truly great band, is that, like, people into a variety of different things can kind of hear it and be like, yes, this is for me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Definitely, you hear it in a different way. And then, you know, you take little bits and pieces and you create out of it. So
yeah, it's just cool to see how people are connecting meaningfully with, you know, meaning, like, a variety of people are connecting with the band. And that's what I think gets
really
interesting.
Those guys, you know, did a lot, like, for hardcore, and they did a lot for just rock and roll in general. So,
yeah, it's a unique take for sure. You know, so yeah, gotta love that. But yeah, so, you know, we can. There's some things I don't want to, like, really touch on because of stuff that isn't announced yet or whatever, but, you know,
you're not gonna tell the joke again, are you?
I'm not going to tell the joke again. The joke, my joke is very good. If anyone wants to hear the joke, go back to the Christmas episode. It's incredible.
Wait, when's the podcast release?
Yeah, well, I was going to mention that, but Harley from Raptors, for the record, is my favorite person on all of Blacklight Media because he likes the joke.
The joke is absolutely terrible, and it's very long. I think I have post-traumatic stress, as Chris, for asking. Please don't tell the joke again.
Anyway. Anyway.
Unless you need to burn 6 minutes of the podcast, go ahead.
Well, no, what I wanted to say is by the time this comes out, we will have announced you have a tour coming up, of course.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah. Whores and Bummer, two of my favorite bands. I know I say that a lot, but I do have a lot of favorite bands. Yeah. I'm very stoked for that tour.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever we got news that that was an opportunity that might be possible, I was very excited because of just like how the band Whores carry themselves. We've been fans for a long time. We played with them one time in New Orleans when they rode through. We were lucky enough to open for them, and they're really nice guys, very stand-up guys. And they sound amazing live, super thick. So yeah, that's right. It's gonna be a fun run. Just seeing the dates this week come to us, we're very excited. That kind of like heightened.
Yeah, hitting the West Coast is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. We know that every time we post a tour flyer or any sort of show announcements, we get California in the comments saying, you know, please come here. So it's going to be nice to be able to, I don't know the word, but take that and say, hey, we're coming.
It's a great opportunity.
I haven't seen these dates yet. When is it? Not every single date, but what month? And
June 1st to July 4th. I got them like last night. I'll send them to you right after this.
And where are you playing in California? Do you know?
I think we're definitely doing Los Angeles, and then we're doing another California date.
They're playing in Los Angeles on June 9th.
June 9th. San Diego
the day before. Yeah.
And then Oakland, California on the 10th. Yeah.
June 9th, where in LA?
Resident.
Got it. I should be there.
But yeah, that's one of the most exciting things for me right now about Capra is that, like, oh shit. This is you. And I was thinking about this actually last night. I was like, wow, like, this is their first, like, real full US tour.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
That brought like a new level of excitement for us because we thought it was just another East Coast run.
Which is cool.
It would have been fine, but this is better and we're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now California can see the magic live, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Which is really the dream. So there's a lot of like interesting music going on in Lafayette right now, I feel, between you and Forming the Void and our friends in the death metal band Golgothan. Yes. What do you think makes the Lafayette scene stand out? Like, I feel like there's more interesting music in Lafayette right now than there is in even New Orleans.
There's definitely something unique happening just in regards of there's only like one or maybe two bands per genre. And there's a plethora of bands, so there's just like all of these crossover shows happening, and they pack out and they're selling out. Ever since the shows have opened up, since the pandemic's kind of let up a little bit, I've noticed more sold out shows than I've ever seen, and I've been in the Lafayette scene for over 18 years, and I've never seen anything like it. And yeah,
but I don't know if like we definitely stand out in a way, but we do get skipped over a lot with tours and everything. And it's a shame because we have so much musical talent in this city that it's unbelievable.
Yeah. So we have to create our own type of culture. There's not a whole lot of bands riding through.
Pretty much. And the, you know, when the local scene shows up, they show up. It's we have 200 to 300 plus shows, you know, like, Not quantity of shows, but like 200, 300 people per show. That'll be there, you know, like we're not like a huge city, so we don't have that much to do.
But the key is to not overplay. And I think a lot of people have started to learn that in the local scene, and that's kind of driven them a little bit further into bigger cities around the surrounding.
Right. Area. I've noticed a lot more bands starting to branch out and tour rather than play a show in Lafayette every 2 weeks. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah. What's the reaction been like? I mean, you've played a handful of shows now since the record came out. Are you finding that some songs, for whatever reason, just like the, you know, the crowd latches onto more than others?
It's kind of a you question. I don't look into the crowd when I'm playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. While we were on our tour in October and November, I noticed so many people singing the words and just, you know, like different areas, like people would go absolutely apeshit, especially for like songs like Mutt.
Yeah, I was going to say Mutt.
And Locust Preacher. Those are two bigger ones. And then, yeah, I mean, you have songs that we play like where the crowd will take like a little breather, or, you know, they'll calm down from moshing and all that, but it always comes right back. Like, I think we have our set list planned in a way that much like the album, you know, where it's like this roller coaster and you have your dips and your dives, and when it's time to go all out, it's time to go all out. Mm-hmm. Reaction's been great though. Like, I mean, I love meeting new people, and it's always good news, you know. I've yet to have somebody come up and be like, dude, that sucked.
Wait, which we toured Germany.
Totally deflate me, but it hasn't happened. So I think we're on a good, you know, we're doing well.
Can you choose a show that we would say is, this is the best show we've played yet since the record?
Middle East.
Oh, in yeah. Boston? Cambridge?
Yeah, with High on Fire, yeah.
Middle East was fantastic. We played with High on Fire and Doom Riders. That was definitely our biggest show. I'm really trying to like deep dive here. I remember we had an amazing show in Richmond, Virginia. Just the whole night of when we played in New York and got to meet you and pretty much everybody else, you know, like there were so many talented and you know, cool people in that crowd. That was a night to remember for sure. As far as best show goes, I mean, we try to make every show the best show. So,
and what's I gotta ask the question as a chef, how's the food been on the road? Have you found anything?
We found good stuff when we ate at your restaurant.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's nothing to compare to Beauty in Essex. Holy shit. I still talk about that like weekly with my girlfriend as I'm cooking. I'm like, this ain't nothing like Chris.
Yeah, I mean, we're cheap. We'll usually stop and just get pretty much snacks but no, I mean, nothing will ever top Beauty in Essex.
I appreciate that. I guess I thought more like, did you get a Philly in Philly? Did you get a Philly cheesesteak in Philly?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Was it everything that you ever thought of, or was it kind of electric?
It's what I expected, exactly. And I'm sure if I said where I got it, I'd get a lot of, you know, a lot of tagging comments saying, oh, you should have went here, you should have went there. But
is that what people from Philadelphia sound like to you?
No, I don't think so.
I did get a deep dish in Chicago, which I was really looking forward to, and it did hold up to my standards.
Yeah.
This is a hot topic, deep dish. Is it really a pizza?
It's more, I call it a pie.
It's a pie.
It's a pie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really dumb, that's wrong. Because like lots of things are pies. Like what about like what's the difference between like a tart and a pie?
Well, isn't a tart smaller than a pie? It's like a quarter
of
the size.
It's like a cupcake pie, yeah.
Let's ask Chris. Chris, what's the difference between a tart and a pie?
And a tartlet is smaller than a tart, so.
Yeah. No, I understand that a tartlet is like one of these, but like a tart, I feel like is a tart limited in size?
It's a mini pie. It's like you have cake, cupcakes, and miniature cupcakes.
There's got to be a fancier word than miniature cupcakes.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Was a hot dog a sandwich?
A hot dog is a sandwich, but it's just called a hot dog.
It's a hoagie.
It's almost like a po' boy.
Yeah, exactly. The bread being connected does not dictate the hot dogness of it, or the sandwichness of it. I actually have a question for you, Chris, that Tyler is too shy to ask, but I know he's wanted to ask for a long time.
Is this about Martha Stewart again?
No, it's about someone else. Do you know Larry David? And could you introduce Tyler to him?
Oh, I would freak out.
I don't know Larry David. I've met him once in the restaurant, and he was very nice. But I don't know
him. It sounds very Larry David.
The way you said very nice, he wasn't very nice.
No. He was cool. But, you know, he didn't, you know, he's not exactly, you're not going to just all of a sudden, I met a couple of weeks ago. I was at a party and I met Dave Grohl, and we immediately started talking about metal, and we just totally just got into a flow of a conversation. And before you know it, it was a half an hour later. That's not going to happen with you and Larry David. He's going to say hello. He's going to nod his head at you, smile at you maybe, and say nice to meet you, but that's the extent of it.
That's all I want. That's really all I want. I'm such a big fan. There's a documentary coming out on March 3rd that's already in my calendar. I'm ready for it.
And so why? So is it a Seinfeld thing? Is it his movie?
Seinfeld thing. Yeah. Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm are two of my favorite shows of all time. I've seen Seinfeld maybe 5 or 6 times all the way through. Greatest show ever created, in my opinion.
Did you see the movie? Shit. Whatever it takes. No.
Yeah.
That's a very underrated movie, and it's really funny and clever with Larry. Yeah.
He also did that's not the one. The one with the car.
Oh, the Herbie?
Something. It was called the Herbie
Or the Herb.
I don't remember what the movie
was. It was with John Hamm
and Larry David.
And it was a story about Larry David coming up with a concept for a car with John Hamm and a company. And
then Larry David got fired
over something stupid, very Curb Your Enthusiasm situation. Like, they made a movie of it, and it was on HBO.
It was a ridiculous movie.
I think it was exclusive to HBO. Yeah. I have to go back and look it up.
All this to say, I was just curious what your Larry connection was, Chris, because this has been a sticking point for Tyler for a while.
Yes.
I like how Matt uses me to find out information he wants. I love him.
You know what Tyler's been asking me about lately?
You guys only have to do this once every 6 months. I got to do this every week with this guy.
Exactly. So I can't ask Chris all my questions because all my questions are annoying.
And you want to start
the first time I was on this podcast, we asked about Martha Stewart, and now we're asking about Larry David. So we might as well just knock out the third one. When can I meet Jerry Seinfeld?
Right. I've definitely met him because we did his daughter's bat mitzvah, or what's it called? It's
bat mitzvah. Yes.
Yeah. We did his daughter's a couple of years ago, and it was awesome. Actually, they brought in a bunch of props and games, and it was really cool. And they were very, very, very.
Do you feel like you're in a Seinfeld episode when you're hanging out with Jerry Seinfeld?
Maybe. I mean, most of my life seemed very surreal. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, I'd sound like a jerk if I started just dropping names left and right, but the places I've been or the situations I've been in where you look around and see all these other people, it's just like, why am I here? How did I get the nod to be here?
I completely get that. Yeah.
I definitely will tell you that the Dave Grohl thing, which happened just a few weeks ago, was so the most, I mean, Dave Grohl's an icon. I mean, he's Dave Grohl, and
he's the biggest rock star on the planet for sure.
Yeah. And you know, to meet him and have him be so down to earth and just, you know, just chat about it. He did a Probot record back in 2003, which is a total metal record. We started talking about that, and then he invited me. He's got a movie that's coming out this Friday.
I'm very excited to watch that.
So the next thing I know, I got an email from somebody on his team, I guess. They invited me to the premiere and wanted me to walk the red carpet. So I did that last Friday night. So that was like a Seinfeld moment where it's like, I'm on the red carpet of Dave Grohl's new movie. And I'm like, why am I here?
Just walking down the red carpet with your hands up.
Yeah, exactly. I will tell you, the movie was awesome. It is totally over the top. It's a horror comedy. Dave Grohl basically becomes possessed, and it gets worse as the movie goes on. But it's hysterical. It's really.
I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah,
I'm also excited to hear his thrash album that he's putting out.
Yeah, which is also coming out Friday, I believe.
Oh yeah,
it's got the best, maybe the best kill scene I've ever seen. About midway through the movie, I won't ruin the surprise, but it is one of the most creative and gory kill scenes I've ever seen in any horror movie ever, and I'm a huge horror guy. And then we got to go see the Foo Fighters play at the Fonda Theater for like 300 people, 400 people. It was like, oh, so wow. Just a crazy experience. So that was very Seinfeldian of like, you know, don't fuck it up. Just
it's crazy that you get to do all of these things and then you go to bed and wake up and it's not a dream, you know?
Yeah, that's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I feel
so,
like
anyway, so let's bring it back to you guys as we head down the home stretch. So how do you see the next, you know, I mean, obviously, so after the Whores tour, are you is the idea that by that point you how long do you want to tour off this record cycle, I guess is what my question is. And how long before you want to get in the studio and bang out another record?
So I think the plan is to, so we've got the I Hate God thing. We've got a small run to Savannah, Georgia in March. I believe we're doing Atlanta, Jacksonville, and Savannah. Those dates are not completely set yet. I think two of them are. April, we plan to record two singles. And then we do the Whores tour in June and July. We're going to have another tour built around Furnace Fest for September. Mm-hmm. And then... No, he announced it.
Yeah, here it goes. We can always edit it out if we need to.
All right, yeah, good man.
And then I think we're on track to record LP2 in November.
Wow, that's a fast turnaround. That's great. Or at least it seems fast.
It's fast, but and I don't want, you know, fans or the label or anybody to be like, oh, these guys just write music really fast. Like, this is strictly because we've had a pandemic and quarantine, and I've had nothing to do but write music. So
yeah, we've been working on these songs since before the album even came out,
right?
In transmission. So
I don't think, like, I don't think, you know, once we release the second album, I wouldn't want people to be like, oh, well, in another year, we'll have a third album. Like, you know, it does take time. Right. And it does take a lot out of me to do that.
We'll tour the second album probably longer than we did for the first, just because, you know, restrictions, fingers crossed.
And we'll have a lot of the old songs that we can sprinkle in as well.
Yeah.
What's the vocal process, right? Like, so you write a song and then, you know, is it presented to Crow and then she kind of takes it home and figures out what she's going to do with it, or is there a different process?
Yeah, so we usually jam on it for a long time, and then at practice or at the end of practice, we'll show her the new stuff. And then I usually go in with our other guitar player, Trevor, and we record these little demos on his computer, and he programs the drums to it. Like, we'll get videos of what Jeremy's doing and he'll program those drums into the songs. And then we send those to Crow and she does her thing.
Mm. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so we actually at practice Tuesday night, we got another one nearly done, where she had lyrics for, I think this is the fourth song that we have lyrics for. So she's still got a while to go, but yeah, they're all coming along.
Awesome. Just as we head towards the end, do you have any final things you want to kind of share with us before you leave to tour with I Hate God in like an hour?
I think I shared everything that we're doing. I don't really have any secrets to give away. So,
we have lots of merchandise.
So I'll just say, like, you know, thank you to everybody that supports us, and thank you to you, Matt, and thank you to Chris, you know, for being in our corner and, you know, believing in us. We really appreciate all the support, and we hope to have many, many years together and do this damn thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's definitely the intent on our side, and we're just super stoked at the feedback we've gotten on you guys. You know, from the actual music to the merch, everyone you guys are firing on all cylinders right now. So just keep doing it.
Absolutely, we're not gonna stop.
Hell yeah!
Oh, by the way, send me a snapback.
Oh yeah, you got it. I'll save you one right now because they are going to sell out. There,
well, don't worry because we have 7 more coming.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, thank you so much to everyone for listening. We will be back next week. This is Capper. Go check them out. Instagram.com/Capper Band. And
I don't know. I'm waving. It's audio.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see you soon.
Take care, guys.
All right.
All right. So that was awesome. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more. And above all, keep it heavy.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.